I'm Leslie Liljenberg, Chair of the Board. Today is December 12, 2025, and the time is 11:15 a.m. I now call to order this meeting of the Board of Directors of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas. This meeting is being held in person at the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas, 1601 East Pflugerville Parkway, Suite 3301, Pflugerville, Texas, 78660. Board members were notified of this board meeting on November 14, 2025. The Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division of the Texas Department of Insurance or the Deputy Commissioner's Delegate were notified of this meeting December 2, 2025, in accordance with Section 2C2 of the SLTX Plan of Operation. Notice of this meeting was published in the Texas Register on December 5, 2025, in accordance with Chapter 551 of the Texas Government Code. A conference calling number was provided to members of the public in the public notice meeting. I will now call the roll to confirm which board members are participating in today's meeting. Jeff Klein.
Jeff Klein via Teams.
Via Teams. Peter Harrison. Leah Bennett. Ryan Bridges. Jim Bishop.
Here.
Jason Cables.
Here.
And Nick Lawrence is not in attendance. A quorum of five or more members is present pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551-125B2 and Plan of Operations Section 2C6. The following stamping office management staff, council, consultants, and liaisons are present. Please affirm your attendance for the record when I call your name. Greg Brandon, Executive Director.
Present.
Toby Pick, Director of Policy Intake and Analysis.
Present.
Shalonda Stone, Director of ITS.
He's present.
He's present here. Ronnie Ford, Director of Finance.
Present.
Denise Amesquita, Director of Human Resources.
Present.
Jeff McWirt, General Counsel.
Here.
Denise, will you please identify the additional stamping office staff members participating via Teams?
We have Sharmila Subetti and Kathy Hall present.
Okay. Are there any TSLA liaisons or consultants attending?
Paul Rennie.
You. Are any representatives of the Texas Department of Insurance, the Texas Comptroller, or legislative offices attending in person or by telephone?
Andrew, Director of Company Licensing at Texas Department of Insurance.
David Dodd, Office of Financial Counsel at TDI.
Thank you. Before we get started, I have a few housekeeping item reminders. Antitrust activity or discussion prohibited at all stamping office functions. This prohibition includes the exchange of information concerning individual company rates, coverages, market practices, claim settlement practices, expenses, or any other competitive aspect of an individual company's operation. We will not have a public comment session. Public and media attendees listening by telephone should mute their lines at all times. Representatives of state agencies and members of the public are welcome to observe or record this board meeting, but please refrain from asking questions or interjecting comments during the board's deliberations. State agency personnel present may be asked questions about their agency's policies if those questions relate to an agenda item. Members, council, and staff should identify themselves by full name when speaking. Please mute your microphone or telephone when not speaking. Item agenda 2, discussion and approval of the October 30th, 2025 board meeting minutes. Everyone was provided a copy of the October 30th, 2025 meeting minutes. Are there any corrections? Any further discussion? There being no further discussion, do we have a motion to approve the October 30th, 2025 minutes? Second?
Cables.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Agenda item number 3, discussion and appropriate action, Finance and Audit Committee report, year-to-date financial review. I will now open the floor to Mr. Jason Cables, committee chair, and Mrs. Rhonda Ford, director of finance, to present this agenda item.
Thank you, Leslie. The Finance and Audit Committee met today to review the quarterly financials, and now Ms. Ronnie Ford will present the information to the board.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to do the 2025 year-to-date financial review for November 2025. Stamping fees is 6% or $37,694 under budget for November, over 1% or $36,010 year-to-date. Investment income is 16% or $15,627 over for November and 16% or $178,478 over year-to-date due to earnings more on our investment than we projected last year. Change in investment market fair market decreased approximately $5,471 for November and increase of $336,509 year to date. Operating expense is $111,949 or 17% over for November, $971,167. Or 11% under for the year. Salaries and benefits, 23% or $90,051 under for November. 12% or $688,905 under for year to date. Under budget is due to lower than anticipated annual pension payments and recent change in the number of head counts. Professional services, 21% or $6,662. Under for November, 8% or $29,398 under year to date. This underage is due to primary the budget increase in audit and accounting services. However, actual remained flat of $17,000, and also we had an IT system analysis project was not done of $12,000. Conference and education is 58% or $1,489 under for November, 5% or $49,016 under year-to-date due to timing and quantity of budgeted conference and trips. Travel and entertainment is 63% or $2,261 for the month, 50% or $24,354 year-to-date. Due to just the timing and quantity of budgeted conference trips, as well as less being spent on board meetings. Occupation and operation is $5,149 or 16% over budget in November, over $6,311 or 22% year to date. This over budget is due to the reclassification of actual lease expense per GAS 87, which dictates that leases are capitalized, including office space, copiers, and mail meters. We did it for January through June, and we'll need to reclass July through December once the month is closed. General and administrative expenses is $13,450 or 8% under budget for November, under $109,777 or 6% year-to-date due to reclass of lease expense needs. Mentioned earlier, the capital lease activity also needs to be booked associated interest expense. This is going to cause an underage of $37,477, primarily due to reduction in actual interest expense and depreciation expense compared to budget. And then we had the contingency was not used, resulting in $3,184 savings for November and $43,408 year to date. And then finally, the net operating income or loss, we had $95,349 operating income for November, $1,522,165 operating income year-to-date. However, our budget operating income was only $73,975 for the month and loss of $143,425 year-to-date. Are there any questions on the 2025 financial statements? Not, then I'll continue to pre-vision on that. Back to current funding balance for the year. For the plan of operation section 2B7, projected reserves except for funds for assets replacements must not exceed 2x the average and audited operation expense for the 5 years period immediately preceding the budget year. the fund balance, beginning balance, unrestricted, undesignated funds in January of 2025 was 32.2. November year-to-date net income was $979,000, resulted in a fund balance on November the 30th of $33,000.2 million, which is $18.7 million over current maximum. The projected year-end maximum fund balance is $32.7 million, still $14.5 million above the limit. It's currently $4.2 million over projected maximum fund balance. Are there any questions on the fund balance analysis?
Thank you. Is there any discussion or questions for Mr. Cables or Mrs. Ford regarding this agenda item? Mr. Cables, Ms. Ford, do you have a recommendation regarding the Finance and Audit Committee report year-to-date financial review?
I do not.
Thank you both. Agenda item number four, discussion and appropriate action, cyber and crime insurance policy renewals. I will now open the floor to Brandon, Executive Director, present this agenda item.
Thank you, Leslie. So as you can see here, we have a plan of operation requirement. You may recall we went over all of the insurance slides back in September, but the plan of operation section 3A8, if you look at what's underlined there, that very last sentence, so we need to review this prior to renewal. So we've got two policies that renew on January 7th. So we're going to go quickly through those. And I will need a board motion to renew both programs once we get to it. So this first slide is the cyber liability policy. So you can see the current policy expires January 7th, 2026. Our broker is Plus or PowerStone. It is effectively a flat renewal, right? So technically $5 less. So 2025 premium was a total of $15,783. And the proposed premium for 26 is $15,778. You can see the mud map there. It's still a $50,000 deductible with a $3 million primary underwritten by Spinnaker, and then a 2X of 3 written by Continental Casualty. And so Spinnaker came in $5 less, and Continental Casualty was flat at $68.20. No changes to any of the coverage details, all privacy and security liability, full prior acts, and no changes to the limits either. The next slide is on crime. Now, this one's a little bit unique, only because we don't talk about it much because it's a three-year policy. So this is our broker for this one is MMA, which is Marsh & McLennan Agency. So it is not Plus TowerStone, and it is an admitted system or admitted policy. You can see the current three-year policy expires January 7th of 2026 as well, is $5,686, and the renewal premium was effectively flat as well. Right in the range of premium for a three-year policy. And the coverage details, this is what really makes this unique. It covers what you would consider normal for a crime policy, right, is employee theft and computer and fund transfer fraud. But you can see that bottom line, we use this in lieu of fidelity bonds for our retirement programs as well. So it has multiple coverage options for us, provides quite a bit of coverage for a crime policy. No changes to anything. Still has $5,000 deductible and a $500,000 limit underwritten by Zurich for a total of $5,779. Yeah, that concludes my presentation.
She's messing with the deal with computer. Okay. Is there any discussion or questions for Mr. Brandon regarding cyber and crime insurance policy renewals? Okay, I'm sorry. We have a comment from Jeff. Interesting presentation at the NAIC. The cyber market in terms of premiums, especially in the surplus lines market, dropped in 2024 from previous years. Yeah.
What it's worth.
Yeah, now we can hear you. We won't hear you in a minute, but Mr. Brandon, do you have a recommendation for board motion at this time regarding the cyber and crime insurance policy renewals?
I do. I recommend the board renew the cyber liability and three-year crime policy as presented.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve the renewal of the cyber liability insurance primary and excess policies for a total amount of $15,778 and the three-year crime policy for $5,779?
So move, Jeff.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Brandon. Okay, we are agenda item number 5, discussion and appropriate action, executive director update. I open the floor to Mr. Brandon to present the executive director update.
So I'll start with the org chart. You can see we have 26 employees. This year will be one remembered for how everyone on the chart demonstrated resilience. You're going to hear resilience from me. You're going to hear resilience from Toby. It was quite a year for us organizationally. And really, everyone on this chart demonstrated a significant amount of resilience in their professional and personal lives and significant commitment to the company as well. As you will see on the following slides, we had several organizational milestones that we worked through with remarkable efficiency, all while going through some very challenging losses, both professionally and personally. I'm very proud to be part of this organization and this team, and I look forward to a remarkable 2026. So moving on to the slides, the get into the business a little bit here. This is a pretty common slide, but just a reminder, the blue line is the year-to-date 2025. So year-to-date premium through November is $16.7 billion. And then the bar charts are the previous years going back through 2021. As you can see from the blue line, there are several record months to kick off the year, and then three straight months of non-record months, which has not occurred in many years, to have three straight months of less than the year prior. $16.7 billion is already in excess of the 2024 total. So 2025 will be an all-time record premium year for the state. Moving on to item count, similar story here with item count. Nearly every month set a new record, and year-to-date item count is 1.3 million with 1 month to go. 2024 total was 1.33 million. So this year will also be a record item count year for the organization. And then my final slide is policy count. You can see same theme here as the other two slides. Nearly every month set a new record, and year-to-date policy count of almost 873,000 policies is well above the 2024 total of 835,000. So this will be an all-time record year for volume of documents that were reported and processed by the company.
Is there any further discussion or any questions on this item? Mr. Brandon, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
I do not.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 6, discussion and appropriate action, policy intake and analysis director update. At this time, we have Toby Keith. I'm so sorry, Toby's not here. Toby Pick, Director of Policy Intake and Analysis, to present the Policy Intake and Analysis Director update.
I feel obligated to sing a country song now. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So I just wanted to start out with showing everybody the year-to-date monthly late filing premium. So this slide shows the total late filing premium by month for 2025 from January through November. You'll notice that January stands out as the highest month at approximately $183.6 million, followed by April, which reached about $160.5 million. On the lower end, June had the smallest premium impact at around $33.5 million. And when we add all the months together, our year-to-date totals come to approximately $1.1 billion in late filing premium. So I do want to highlight the importance of our close coordination with the Texas Department of Insurance in managing and reviewing these filings each month. I have built a strong working relationship with specifically Andrew Guerrero, where we carefully review, you know, monthly late filing adjustments together. And I think we make a pretty good team. And slide. I was going to give you guys information about our policy audits for 2025. So over a six-month period from April through October 2025, we completed a total of four audits. These policy audits were conducted at random. And just to ensure in fairness, the operations team audited 67 individual agents or brokers, and we reviewed 1,464 individual policies. And the reason why we do audits is to ensure compliance with the Texas surplus lines statutes, regulations, and for accuracy and data integrity. Okay, and then lastly, I have a team update. I'm incredibly proud of our operations team. This year presented significant challenges, particularly as we navigated the loss of our colleague and our mentor and friend, Cheyenne Herrera. Despite the hardship, the team demonstrated remarkable resilience, unity, and commitment. They continued to meet deadlines, achieved goals, and collaborated effectively to develop solutions when faced with obstacles. I want to commend each member of the team for their dedication to both our department and to SLTX. Our progress would not be possible without the strength of our leadership and the collective effort of every individual across the organization. We continue to grow and learn both professionally and professionally, and we support one another throughout this journey. This is what makes us a strong and cohesive team, and I look forward to many years ahead. I do also want to bring up our vendor Lemon Light. That was one of the duties, as Greg was mentioning earlier, that myself and my two leads, Kathy Hull and Chantel Jackson, have stepped up to learn, manage, and learn how to come up with a Lemon Light video. So I would like to propose, we brought Kathy here to give additional information on Lemon Light.
So, like Toby said, we all had to come together to, get this on the road as far as, because they came back to us, Lemon Light did, and we're like, okay, you know, we need this completed, because Cheyenne was in the middle of a video. She had completed the storyboard approval process. She had gotten the storyboard to them, and they sent it to our team to get it approved. And so that's where we started learning how to do these videos. The videos are very helpful to external users who don't want to, you know, read through our very big instruction manuals. It's, you know, a 2-minute video. Easy to just listen to and watch the screenshots. So we completed, we finished the video that Cheyenne was in the middle of, and then we've completed two more after that. Was it deletes and
policy or binder?
Yeah, policy or binder entry. And currently we're working on, we're almost completed with agent of record. Video explaining, you know, how they change the agent of record on a policy and how to do that in SMART.
Yeah, and I would like to commend Kathy as basically the, like I said, liaison. She's been great at communicating with them and pulling us together and, you know, whenever we need to give opinion or feedback. So I'm really proud of Kathy.
Thank you for joining us, Kathy, today, too. So is there any further discussion or any questions at this time?
This is Jeff.
Can you hear me?
We can.
First, on a more important matter, Toby, the board members are saddened by what happened with Cheyenne as well, and if there's anything we could ever do in her memory, or if SLTX moves to another location and we can name a conference room after her or something like that, obviously that would be important. On the late filing issue, I had of less importance, I had one question. That's an issue across the states, not just in Texas, but was that...
We can't hear you. Oh,
you can't hear me.
We don't think it's you. It's not you, it's us.
All right.
Okay. Oh, how sweet. Okay, so that... Thanks, Jeff. And thank you, Mr. Pick and Mrs. Hall. Mr. Pick, do you have a motion for the board at this time?
I do.
Hang on. Jeff's got a question. Late fines, how to compare to prior years?
Oh, yeah. So I do have... Jeff, now that you mentioned that, I do have a 2024 year to date through the same period, and the late filing premium was $840 million for last year at this time.
Thank
you. Okay, so should I? I would like.
Do you have any more questions? Okay, thank you.
Underline is an annual contract. We contract minutes. We call them 4 videos because they're generally about 2.5 minutes long. But we contract for 10 minutes a year. So the Lemon Light contract is up for renewal for 2026. And that's what Toby will be discussing in his motion. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I would like to recommend that the board approve the renewal of the Lemon Light video contract proposed in the amount of $55,800 for 2026 as presented.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pick and Ms. Hall. Do we have a motion to approve the renewal of the Lemon Light contract proposal in the amount of $55,800?
I make a motion. Leah Bennett.
Leah Bennett. First, second.
Second motion.
Thank you. All in, is there any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. And the ayes have it, and the motion passes. Thank you again, Toby and Kathy, for your presentation. Agenda item number 7, ITS Director Update, Shalonda Stone. At this time, we have Shalonda Stone, Director of ITS, to present the ITS Director.
So I'll start off with current updates. Currently, we have 1,028 tickets that are open that need to be worked. That is all of our backlog tickets that when people have ideas, when internal staff have ideas, we actually turn them into a ticket. So we keep track of them. So right now in backlog, there's a little over 1,000 tickets that need to be worked. We currently keep adding tickets to theirs. We're going through different things. Right now we're doing update and edit and policy audit, but I'll get into that in just a second. Our external smart group, I talked about that a couple meetings. We do have one scheduled. The first external smart group session is scheduled February the 12th, 2026. And we're extremely excited to see what comes out of that. Most of the people that registered for that smart group session are all API filers, so it's going to be interesting. Those are the people that actually just tie into our system using their own system and not actually using the smart online-based system. So it's going to be interesting to see what updates they want and things we can accomplish to help them make their job easier. The team is currently working on recreating tickets for update and edit and policy audit. A lot of the additions or changes to the tickets came from our internal. We had an internal like smart session, and we talked to the team, Toby's team especially, and asked them what they needed and how the update and edit and policy audit needed to work. And out of those conversations came a complete revamp of some things. So so we did close a lot of tickets. We had, for the update and edit, just to give an example, there were originally 177 tickets. We combined them and reduced them down to 57 now. So we're actually going through and actually cleaning up the tickets that were already in place to enhance it and make it better. The update and edit, we were going to, the original approach was to actually release it all in one big release. However, as we're getting them completed, we're releasing them sporadically so users can actually use them and not have to wait all one time to be able to do updates and edits, because that is one of the biggest feedback that we have from users from the outside, both internal and external. They want to be able to update and edit the policies that's put into the system. So instead of making people wait, we're just going to do it a little bit differently. Instead of a waterfall approach, which is what we do now, is when we do releases, we do them all at one time. We're just going to release it as it comes out. So I think that'll be beneficial with everybody going forward, but also helpful for our internal and external stakeholders. The policy audit will be activated in alignment with our standard process, which means it'll be a waterfall process. They'll get the whole policy audit feature. This is internal all at one time. But we're trying to see if we can incrementally deploy it. However, it's a more complex system than doing update and edit, so we don't know if we're going to be able to actually do that. But we're looking into to see if that is going to be functionally feasible, especially for Toby's team. So, but we'll have to work closely with the ops team to as we're doing the releases for the policy. So this has been a crazy year. I wanted to go back to talk with Toby. We've done a lot of changes, a lot of pivoting this year, a lot of things that we thought that we were going to release this year, we are not. Due to age, we had a big thing with Cheyenne's absence, but the other thing is there was a lot of technical debt and a lot of features that we needed to get out before other features could be released, i.e. what we were just talking about, policy audit and the updated edits. So the team has been really great, because the pivots have not been small pivots. We've actually moved, like, the last release for policy audit should have been like 107 tickets. Oh, no, sorry. Update and edit should have been like 177 tickets. We had to pause that and kind of repivot. So the team has been great repivoting and kind of redirecting where we need to be and where we need to go. However, we did release 2505 back in November. And inside of that release was the ability to add renewal certificate transaction type, the functionalities to facilitate restriction coverage to coverage relationships. It updated the monthly policy and premium report. It added new data points to it for new methods for capturing data points going forward. It enabled the functionality allowing external users to update the primary contact information independently, so they don't have to actually call the ops team or send in a message asking them to update the point of contact. And then we had minor UI and contextual adjustments and just basically routine technical debt that was inside of that release. For the release that they're working on right now, 2506, we're thinking to do a partial release for 2506 because 2506 has grown into a beast of its own. A lot of the stuff inside of 2506 as displayed on the screen is API filing adjustments, report changes, access to view stamping fee payment history, limit exempt premium values to exceed the file premium values. And we have other minor UI label changes and contextual adjustments that's going to be inside 2506. However, some of the work that's done that's currently and that's going to be finished before the end of the year for 2506, we're thinking about, like I said, doing a smaller release for it, because this 2506 is basically a release that was requested by internal and external stakeholders. So we want to give people what they asked for or things that they've been looking for. So. And that is it for me.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion or any questions on this item? Ms. Stone, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 8, executive session. Item 1, discussion deliberation of the performance, compensation, and benefits of the executive director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas. Personnel matters, Texas Government Code. 551-074, and item number two will be discussion and review of general counsel contract consultations with the attorney under Texas Government Code 551-0712. At this time, the board will adjourn this open session to convene a closed executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meeting Act, Government Code Section 551-074, to deliberate the performance, compensation, and benefits of the executive director of the Surplus Lines Stamping Office of Texas. Only board members, legal counsel, TDI representatives, and necessary executive staff participating during the executive session. We will reconvene an open session after the executive session to vote on executive session agenda items as appropriate. This open meeting is adjourned at 11:50 a.m.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
we'll work through it.
Technology. Frustrating. Yeah.
It's freezing in here.
You have gloves?
I should.
Right. You guys are cold?
I'm freezing. I'm the only one all the time.
I'll come to Missouri.
All the time.
That was a Puerto Rican thing.
I'm an island girl.
You're the island lady. Sort of dequa, is that what you said?
Dequa. Mm-hmm.
I think I know how to say it.
Those are reopens or something in here.
Yeah, see, you're cold too. Yes.
Okay. I do run cold.
Not the only one. It was body heat earlier. It got warm.
I never thought it was warm in here.
Neither.
No, it's probably a me problem.
Let me fix it. I'll turn it back up to 72.
Well, Greg is going to kill you. Greg is going to kill you.
Down to 62.
We're under on our operating costs. I mean, it should be an electricity problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it definitely
it's this crazy room.
It's $18 million of portable heaters.
That would be great.
That wouldn't be good. Denise would love it.
I would. And Ronnie's with me too, so.
Are you cold too?
You want to put it back on 72?
It just got fine. It's fine.
She's fine. All right, are we ready like, okay. To
explain? That's it. Yep. All right.
Ready? Ready?
Yeah, we're doing the second part to the thing.
We're ending soon.
Don't hear it up yet. Not yet.
Okay. I'm Leslie Lilgenberg, Chair of the Surplus Lines Stamping Office. Texas. The open session of this board meeting is now reconvened at 12:36. Check me there, Mr. McWhorth. Okay. December 12th, 2025. I will now call the roll again to confirm the board members returning to the reconvened meeting and to confirm that we have a quorum. Jeff Klein via Teams.
Present by Teams.
Peter Harrison. Leah Bennett.
Here.
Ryan Bridges. Jim Bishop.
Here.
Jason Cables.
Here.
Have a quorum. Agenda item 9. We'll look at item 1, discussion appropriate action regarding the performance compensation and benefits of the executive director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas. Do any board members have comments or questions to present in public session concerning the closed agenda item regarding the performance compensation and benefits of the executive director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas?
This is Vice Chair Jeff Klein.
Yes.
I just want to reiterate what I said in the executive session, that I think there's a consensus that Greg's performance continues to ever improve if it ever needed improvement. His handling and help of staff during a troublesome year for everybody was amazing, and his outreach to other industry.
Jeff, I'm sorry.
Okay. I will.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeff, for your comments, and sorry about that. Any other comments? Discussion. Okay. Based on the recommendation from the executive committee and our closed session discussions today, do I have a motion for the board of directors to approve the following compensation and benefits for the executive director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas, Mr. Greg Brandon? Number one, payment of an annual bonus in the amount of 25% of the 2025 salary with payment no later than December 31st, 2025. Number two, a raise of 6.5% of annual salary to be effective January 1, 2026. And number three, payment of deferred compensation in the amount of $24,500 plus $8,000 of catch-up with payment to be made no later than January 31st, 2026. Do I have a motion?
Jason Cables will make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Cables. Do we have a second?
Second, Jim Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item two, discussion and appropriate action regarding general counsel contract. Do any board members have comments or questions to present in public session concerning the closed agenda item regarding the review of the general counsel contract? Based on our closed session discussions today, do I have a motion for the board of directors to approve the renewal of the general counsel contract as discussed?
Motion. Leah Bennett.
First and a second.
Second, Jim Bishop.
Bishop, thank you. Any further discussion? Mr. Klein, you okay? We have all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. That brings us to the last agenda item, adjournment. There being no other business before the board, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Jason Cables will make that motion.
Cables makes it first. May I have a second, please?
Jeff.
Bridges, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes have it and the meeting adjourned at 12:40 on December 12th, 2025.